A renunciate should not live in his village with his relatives. A renunciate should not meet a king or a woman. A renunciate should remain faultless. Because he doesn't stay in his own place, generally speaking. He'll stay in, you know, some other place. You know, because there's always plenty of places. You know, your own village is one place. So, like that. So in other words, it just means, you know, you go from the East Village to, you know, over to Soho or go uptown, or, you know, something like that. You know, just stay out of the village. Right? That's the main. Right. Symptom of pseudo-renunciate are stated by the Lord in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 117 through 118, 120, 124. And 5:35-36. The Lord replied, "I cannot tolerate seeing the face of a person who's accepted or renounced over a life, but who still talks intimately with a woman. So strongly do the senses adhere to the objects of their enjoyment that indeed a wooden statue of a woman attracts the mind of even a great saintly person. There are many persons with little in their possession who accept the renounced order of life like monkeys. They go here and there engaging in sense gratification and speaking intimately with women." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My mind was not under my control. It does not like to see anyone in the renounced order who talks intimately with women. I am a sannyasi and I certainly consider myself renounced, but not to speak of seeing a woman. If I even hear the name of a woman, I feel changes in my mind and body. Therefore, who could remain unmoved by the sight of a woman? It is very difficult. A renunciate should not eat foods or accept goods from materialistic people, nor should he invite other renunciates to eat food or accept goods from such people." So in other words, that means the Brahmin gets something from a materialist, and he accepts it. If he immediately gives it away, then it becomes purified. Like he gets money from a bad source, so he won't use it for himself, but he gives it away. It becomes purified for the other person. But the renunciate, then if they get, you know, food or goods from materialistic people, they don't give it to other renunciates. You know, like that. Because it still will carry something with, like this. Like that. Does that make sense? Well, they might give it to somebody else who would appreciate it, but they won't. A renunciate should not construct big temples or residences. By doing so, he becomes entangled in household activities. He should meditate on the service of worshipping Govardhan Shila. Okay? Yes?
To the previous point, what's the difference? Why Brahmin can accept something and give it straight away?
Because he's a grihastha, so then he's working kind of in that field, so he has to work with that. But the idea is to renunciate. It, you know, would avoid working with it. I guess maybe the subtlety of it or stuff like that. You know, there'll be much more. Much more at stake. Should not construct big temples or residences. Right? Because the temple just as a place to stay or a residence to stay, the idea is that what is connected with service, that is what is useful. So here, like, we're building a very big temple. But it's for the preaching. It will attract a lot of people. People will take note like that. So then it has some validity. So one has to understand where, you know, it's like before. It's anything, if it's not properly connected, then it's useless. And anything that is, it's not counted in that category. He should meditate on the service of worshipping Govardhan Srila. So also then, in his puja, It means he can do that kind of worship, but he would also tend to do it very simple. So most of it would be done by mental. You know what I'm saying? Because he doesn't have all the paraphernalia and have all the facilities. So therefore, his worship will be done. Because you can get water, but it will always be done in that simple way. So the idea here is that if he's doing some kind of worship of a deity, then a shila then is easy. You just put him hang around the neck and go. But deities and so many things and this and that. So unless if there's a program or a party or something that's big, so then it works. But if one's on one's own, there's also generally in here when it says renunciate means someone who's on his own. So therefore, he on his own wouldn't construct a temple or a residence, because then he just gets involved in that, right? But if for the preaching you're making a temple, and that others will be doing. Like Prabhupada encouraged making the temple and that, but he didn't do it. Mm. They'll ask him, what do you look, this, that, give some ideas and this and that, but he's not the one actually doing it. Does that make sense? So otherwise one gets too involved, one doesn't have the time to put into the sadhana and that the ashram affords. Yes.
There's also the risk that one becomes biased in some way.
Yeah, any of these things. In other words, it's just a more difficult situation. It means the grihastha is already dealing with materialistic persons, already dealing with material situations and considerations and all that. So now to deal with something, external that's connected to Krishna, that's good. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But here's when one can be focused on direct devotional service all the time and preaching, then to work with things that you're engaging them, the external in the Lord's service, then won't be as ideal. Like that. You know what I'm saying? If there's others there giving directions like that. But, yes?
Just so we understand the principle of what's the correct. You have your sacrifice according to your position.
Yes, according to position. Because the point is it doesn't matter, as he already said before, is whether one's a renunciator or the householder, it doesn't matter. Like that. Because both of them are taking whatever their situation and connecting it to the Lord. So it makes no difference in that way. But the point is for each situation, one works nicer and the other doesn't. Does that make sense? A renunciate Vaishnava is prohibited from all kinds of enjoyment. A stay in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Panchi Lila 12.108. The Lord replied, a sannyasi has no use for oil, especially perfumed oil such as this. Take it out immediately. And that was to Jagannanda Pandit, which he didn't seem to appreciate. Yeah. So, enjoyment, in other words, These simple natural things like that, then these elements being used for the standard Vedic lifestyle, so they don't get involved in it, because it's very what do you do with the oil, where do you keep it, how do you carry it around, how do you do all the different things, like that. What if your oil is better than the grihastha's, and then he gets all jealous, and so all these different things. So one generally is very, very careful for, in other words, for oneself, one doesn't get involved in all this kind of thing. Does that make sense? If there's some advantage to the preaching, then it's used. But if there's no advantage for the preaching, it's not. A renunciate Vaishnava is forbidden from hearing the singing of a woman. Regarding a renunciate's food, the Lord has said, so singing of a woman means that she would be sitting, singing, a recital, that kind of thing. That would be avoided, right? If it's in the kirtan, that's like Prabhupada said, it's the chorus, so it's fine, like that. But otherwise, it's that, they would sit down and sing and, things like that. Regarding a renunciate's food, the Lord has said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Lila 8.84.85, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, why are all of you angry at Ramachandra Puri? He's expounding the natural principles of sannyas life. Why are you accusing him? For a sannyasi to indulge in satisfying the tongue is a great offense. The duty of the sannyasi is to eat only as much as needed in order to keep body and soul together. Right? So it's eat as much as needed and what comes easily. Like that. So if it's nice, not nice, then that's not the anxiety. Like that. Right? So yeah. Does that make sense? So all kinds of enjoyment means something that is not connected to the Lord, right? Or the focus is on the sensual interaction with it, rather than just, in other words, honoring Prashad is one thing, but you know, just getting into the Prashad, that's another. Does that make sense? All the above mentioned items are accepted as the proper occupations of renunciate Vaishnavas. Although householders and renunciates have different occupations, there are some they have in common. Now the proper occupations for all Vaishnavas, householders and renunciates, will be explained. Right, so that was what's specific to grihasthas, is what's specific to renunciates. Now what's general for everybody. There's no duty in the Kali age, other than chanting the holy names and mantras of Krishna. Okay, so in the footnote, in the Upadeshamrita, verse 8, it is stated, the essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees, who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Right? So the point is that the essence is that 24 hours a day, you're hearing and chanting about the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes in the Dham, under the guidance of devotees, in the association of devotees. Does that make sense? So it comes across really well. Right? Does that make sense? It's very direct, very, you know, very meaningful of what you can take, and it's got the essence. Does that make sense?
I think that's...
Yeah. So what's also very interesting, though, is the same verse, if you use all the Sanskrit terminologies, it will be discussed completely differently. Right? Because here we'll see is that I have to always be engaged in body and mind, in words, in Krishna's service. Right? You know, in where the Lord's activities are going on, in the association of devotees who are performing those activities, right? And then one should always follow in the footsteps of the devotees who are serious in Krishna consciousness. Right? So it gives a very direct, anybody can take it, anybody can get benefit. Right? Anybody catch what the point I'm talking about?
In this same verse of Vaishnavrita, Srila Prabhupada in the purport is saying that one should not imitate the advanced devotees.
Right, yes.
What will be the difference between following in the footsteps?
Following the footsteps means you imitate, means you just externally do what they do. Right? Means there's a principle that they're following. Let's say that the Goswamis are they only keep as much as required to do their service, right? So they sit under a tree, they chant, they write some books, so that's all they require, right? But then we think that if I sit under a tree and, you know, my copans, then I'm like the Goswamis. That would be imitating. Following the footsteps would mean whatever my situation, I just see that just what I require, I keep that. You know, even if that's a lot of facility. But it's still, that's following the footsteps. So here, one should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. So here, if we're using the other thing, deeply attached, what we're talking here. So we're talking about the Raganuga Bhaktas. Right? So then the whole topic will go into Raganuga and this and that. You understand? So Prabhupada, by not using the terms in certain areas, misses out on all the getting enamored by all those things, right? But in other places, he's very specific with the Sanskrit, especially when it's to do with the philosophy, you know, to give a very exacting term. Or it's something to do with the culture, you know, like that.
Krishna consciousness is available for everybody.
Right.
Then how do you have compassion for people when... anyone can accept Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's available. You know, devotees are everywhere in the world, and even devotees who are, you know, having trouble falling. How do we have that compassional way to see that they're not wanting to take more steps towards Krishna?
No, the point is that we've practiced, and then what is within our environment where we can exercise some influence, then we do that. The point is that it has to work. You know what I'm saying? So applying influence means it gives results, not that we made the attempt, it didn't work, and then we say, well, I tried. You know what I'm saying? Unless it's one of those is that you don't have an obligation. You know, say, let's say you're made the cook, right? You go in the kitchen, you cook, it doesn't work out. You can't just say, well, I tried. Then you keep working at it until it works. Does that make sense?
But they said that one should be compassionate for all the suffering and conditional soul.
Are we in the same place? We're on page 43.
Yes. Maybe I'll get in line ahead.
There's no duty in the age Kali other than chanting the holy names and mantras of Krishna. That's as far as I got. The first line. No, because then after that I'm reading down in the footnote. You see that line? Yeah, so we're down there. No, we're on the first footnote. Footnote 3. Okay, yeah, no, it should come in. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's comments in Manasiksha. While actually residing in Vraja, one must become absorbed in remembering and meditating on the pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna and those of his confidential associates, whose devotional sentiments one desires to emulate. By so doing, he becomes attached to the same devotional taste. He should develop an attachment to constant hearing about these pastimes. Sadhakas who hanker after decorating their basic devotional mood with the spiritual sentiments of their favorite associates of the Lord have to render service to Sri Krishna by following in their footsteps. As a sadhaka, he renders service in his material body. As a siddha, or perfected soul, he renders service in a suitable spiritual form. Well known among knowledgeable persons is that in Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional activities like hearing and chanting are always being performed by devotees and are important functions in Raghunuga Bhakti as well. In other words, it's the visible forms of devotional service, then they're always valid. So Vaidhi means that's what's being done. A rag means the same thing because it's the mood that is there. That's what makes it. That's what makes it rag bhakti is the mood of it, not what you're doing. Does that make sense? Okay, then continue. It is necessary for everyone to take initiation into the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. Here he says it's necessary. Right? Not that. So he doesn't kind of leave it there. A devotee needs to always associate with devotees. Right? So here he says into the chanting of the holy names. Now if someone gets to the Gayatri, that's another thing. But at least that must be there. A devotee needs to always associate with devotees, so that's something that is not avoidable. A devotee should associate with affectionate devotees who are more advanced, yet of the same temperament. Yeah. Right, so in other words, someone who you have a rapport with, but is more advanced, right? And of similar nature, because then you'll be able to deal in the same areas. Yes.
About initiation, could be something else than pancha samskar or unfinished.
This is something else other than pancha samskar. No.
So it will be not finished if one doesn't get the pancha.
It means you've done, the essential of connecting to the holy name. Now that the normal thing is that one would do the whole process. We said that just in case someone is saying that. Prabhupada mentioned it's not, important that everybody gets second initiation. But that didn't mean that they're more qualified so they don't need it. It means that they don't have the natural lifestyle and temperament of the mode of goodness that would be required for getting the mantra. Does that make sense?
So what if they are kind of, they should qualify themselves and they get the rest process?
Yeah, they would get the rest, or, if they're that advanced, they don't worry about it. But the point is is that, you know, they qualify themselves in the chanting of the holy name. Okay. You have something?
No.
He's already taken care of.
Oh. I was just asking the temperament that you already asked.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, now we'll get the footnote, then gets into this.
So, this indicates that if a devotee should associate with a Krishna devotee, he needs to have some discrimination.
Yes.
And to understand also with more advance than he.
Yeah, but I'm saying you may not be able to understand the position, you just see that there's qualities, that's why it's a similar temperament. There's qualities where you want to develop, but they're good in those areas. Like you value chanting, so they get right into their rounds, or you like kirtan and they're good at that, or you know, you value service attitude, so they have a very good service attitude. So that's why it says equal temperament, but more advanced within that equal temperament, because otherwise is, you know, you value kirtan like that, and you know, they how you say, can distribute the most stickers. You know what I'm saying? You might not have anything to... Both are devotional service, but you may not have some common ground to discuss the devotional service. You know what I'm saying? Like that, it means that a class and doing things, you have no problem with that. But we're talking about closeness, right? Affectionate devotees who are more advanced, yet of the same temperament. Because here is that someone might go somewhere of the same temperament, but not more advanced, or not affectionate. Or they may be advanced, but not necessarily affectionate to you, or they may be a different temperament. Or they may be affectionate, but not but more advanced, or maybe of a different temperament. You know, maybe advanced, but a different temperament. So the idea is you get all these things. They're affectionate means that you can closely deal. They're advanced, and yet of the same temperament. Yes.
All right, so what is it? As one advances in devotional service, what is it that makes one frustrated or annoyed if somebody doesn't deal with you properly?
Well, what do you mean by not deal properly?
Like, according to what you think, how you think they should deal with you.
It's generally called false ego. You know, in other words, as we advance, we're thinking we're advanced, so but that's not good. As we advance, then we should appreciate how... It's just like, let's say... Let's say you have an undergraduate, okay? And you have a third grader, okay? Third grader is doing math, right? And the undergraduate is majoring in mathematics, right? So now, does the undergraduate know more than the third grader? But is he in a position to be proud? I mean, maybe with the third grader, but he's an undergraduate. Right, so he has technically no status in the academic world. No, that's not the point. The point is that there's always more. So even though you know something, there's always more. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that someone who actually understands more understands how much more there is to go. Right, it's the nectar of devotion is the nectar of the ocean of devotion. So it's an ocean, right? So when we've just heard about the ocean, we shouldn't be so proud that now we're so advanced, right? Does that make sense? You know.
Yeah, I've heard about the ocean.
Because some of the boys back before us, you had all these Bengali kids in the village. They had never been outside of, you know, their village and here in Mayapur. And we took a whole bunch of them to Puri. Mm-hmm. You know, if you come down from the station on the rickshaws, you kind of hit that place where you can either go right to where all the Bengalis are, or left to where all the foreigners are, right? You know, so then you go off to the right, and then you turn the corner, and then it goes right straight to the ocean before turning right and going down the beach. So, they're sitting there talking and this and that and that. And then suddenly when it comes, we can see the ocean, it gets closer. It's just like, it's like, it's just, I couldn't believe it. It was just like, bigger, you hear about the ocean, it's big, yeah, of course, like that, But, that was like way beyond their ability to comprehend at the time. So they're just sitting there, just looking. Yes. We haven't gone to compassion.
I just felt sometimes when you know there's so much more to know, you can lose your enthusiasm.
That's why we don't talk about it. You understand? In other words, the point of that anything connected to Krishna is good. And therefore, in that way, it's in pursuance of devotion, so we count it like devotional service. So sadhana bhakti we would call devotional service. That's a valid viewpoint. At the same time, it's also valid that prema is bhakti, and anything below that isn't. You know what I'm saying? So the first one is what you emphasize. The second one is when we get proud. So in other words, the pride will stop the advancement, then you have to point out that there's more to go. Right? So that's what I was using in that case, because he was talking about the pride. But if there's no pride, then whatever one's doing, that's the point. The body, mind, and words are engaged. So maybe how much they could be engaged and what are the opportunities or the quality of that may not be so developed, but in your own consciousness, that's what you're doing. Right? Like when when Narad Muni was explaining that, as a child, then he was, as far as he was concerned, he wasn't playful and he was always absorbed in following the instructions of the sages. But Prabhupada in the purport says, kids always play. But in his mind, he wasn't going out of his way to play. You know what I'm saying? It's just like the kid is, here doing something and like that, of value, and then he sees something else to do over there. Then he'll skip over there, and as he goes by, he sees something, looks at it, and then goes and he'll get there. But in his mind, he's just going from here to there. Right? Playing would mean he would, make the conscious, go and then go off and do something. So in his mind, he's not playing. But if you watch them, they're kids. You know what I'm saying? From the adult cultural perspective, but from the kids, for a 5-year-old's perspective, no. So other kids would be playing in that, and he'd be. Does that make sense?
This difference of temperament and, being together with those who have your temperament for affection to you, then this is something which naturally creates kind of groups, so it's not something unnatural in devotional service. They have different groups.
No, it's not.
And then this isn't one of them, because
human beings are social animals. Right, and we're trying to make them into, social human beings, right? Right, from feral to social to human. Yeah, but then that's not based on that's not sadhu sangha. You know what I'm saying? The point of the sadhu sangha, what do you care? You know what I'm saying? Point is that would be other considerations. So it doesn't come up if we're saying, oh no, but it may come up, so we have to avoid it. Then the point is then you'd have to avoid everything. You know what I'm saying? You possess anything, oh, but it's all yours, or you do anything, oh, but I'm in charge. So then what would be left? The point is you have to take that risk for Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura writes in his commentaries to Sri Manasiksha. It is stated in Hari Bhakti Shurodoy, quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Purva 22291. Hiranyakashipu said to Prahlad, "My dear son, association is very influential upon people. Like a crystal takes on the qualities of the one whom it's, with whom it associates. For this reason, intelligent persons should seek the company of high class and like-minded individuals in order to increase the prestige of their families." Right, so he's saying all the right things. It just goes along, and then somehow or another, just at the end, just kind of goes a little off. Right? The purport of this verse is that one's heart and consciousness cannot be purified of material contamination merely by performing sacrifices or by yoga exercises. It is only by association with unalloyed Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, ever free from conceit, that these impurities of the heart may be totally eradicated. Right? So here's the point. His point's right. You know, and here also you can say increase the prestige of the families. You could also mean the family, the association of the circle of devotees. You know, increase the prestige by everyone's more Krishna conscious, everything works more nicely like this. So the principle works. It's just his application tends to be a touch more materialistic than Prahlad's application. Yes?
Is this where we see devotees make a mistake of focusing on the external first and then dealing with himself? Because sometimes they'll try and figure the situation out before actually dealing with the internal mood.
Because the two go together. It's just a matter of however it works most easily for you is how you work it. So if you see the external, then you catch what would be the proper mood, or if you're working from the mood, okay, then how would that apply to the external? The point is action means both have to be there. So there's no such thing as just internal or just external. Both have to be there. You know, it's just, you know, basically what the focus is, where you start from.
What should be more important, the association of advanced devotees or the specific in the same mood?
It says a devotee needs to always associate with devotees, right? So then that takes care of your associating with devotees. Devotee should associate. Here it says a devotee needs to always associate. So one should always be in the association of devotees. Then he should associate with affectionate devotees who are more advanced, they have the same temperament. Right? So in other words, that within association of devotees, then one, you know, if has that opportunity, then one associates. Does that make sense?
The specific point is that when you just join, and when you're in you and when you choose spiritual master, maybe one consideration, one or two, maybe. And then with the time.
You mean like they smiled at you? Okay. Yeah. You more towards the east, that would be the consideration.
Yeah. So, for us, the one who helped you, or, you know, something else. But then after that, you see that the mood is totally different with the youth.
The point is the connection is there, but that's why it's a society, so they're for siksha gurus. It just says associate with affectionate devotees are more advanced, yet of the same temperament. It doesn't say the spiritual master. That has to be the spiritual master. Because the point is spiritual master, the element is the formality. Does that make sense? So that formality makes it work. Right? The connection is there, like that. But on you know, other cultivations, then that may not be, how you say? Does that make sense? So it's not necessarily that important. Point is, the siksha is the element. So that siksha, that association with devotees, like that. So you take advantage of all these. You know, because you're going to have all these devotees. So some are affectionate, some are more advanced, and some are of the same temperament. You know, but also you should look around for those who have all three. Yeah. You know, or at least two, right? So you can get those three, then you can get affectionate advanced, affectionate temperament, right? And then temperament and so you could get six different groups. Right? So then, you know, so these are the qualities that you look for. Okay. talking. That's another one. Yeah, so it's only by the association of advanced devotees then everything can be totally eradicated. Right? So the point is one may say, so see, we can only associate with someone like Prabhupada or this or that. But the point is you also have to be able to take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? It means Prahlad was a great devotee, and Hiranyakashipu means Prahlad was like the greatest devotee, and Hiranyakashipu was the greatest materialist. So both could appreciate the point, though they use it for different purposes. Right? He's highly qualified materialist, so he can take advantage of the association of other qualified materialists. Right? And Prahlad is so the point comes up is that when we're talking about totally eradicated, but that means also total commitment to the process. So to that degree of our commitment, then it becomes important that we're able to appreciate that degree of this unalloyed devotees. Does that make sense? Okay. Devotees should carefully gather the good qualities needed for devotional service. Play so carefully. He knows what they are carefully. Gather means slowly, slowly he'll get them. Doesn't mean he takes his time. He just means, you know, whatever it takes to gather them. A devotee should execute devotional service with great care and eagerness. Right? So he's enthusiastic. He uses his intelligence, you know, and so therefore the care. Right? He wants to do it nicely to get the result for Krishna. But he's using intelligence to see that he's doing it properly. Right? Because otherwise, if you don't do it properly, then you don't get a good result. You don't get a good result, then there's not so nice a result for Krishna. So therefore, one uses care. Just getting it done quickly, you know, is not necessarily the prominent quality that one should be looking for. Is that makes sense? Yes.
Maharaj, sometimes, like, when I'm in a rush and I'm eating prasad, and I know, like, you know, if I don't finish this whole thing in, like, 15 minutes, I'm going to miss my chore or something like that. So you're in this rush, and it's hard to feel devotion. So as you're saying, how can one be, one knowing time constraints, still be devotional while he's doing that activity? He's within the time constraints.
Eat when you get on the train. You know what I'm saying? Means, you see this. The point is, you just have to focus. It's not that by being in a rush is what makes you quicker, is being conscious of the time and you're eating and like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's not the rushing that makes it quicker. It's the application. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, if you apply nicely, then it works. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you don't have to be in anxiety to, you know, stick the whole thing in your mouth at one shot. You know, you can also do it very devotionally. Does that make sense? Or, if it's not going to work, then like I said, just take it with you and get on the train and everything's there. And then you're going to be there for the next 24 hours. You have plenty of time to eat. You know, then you can eat it, you know, one grain at a time. You know, like that. Okay, that was 3 hours. Now what do we do? 21 hours to go. Okay.
The good quality needed for devotional service are like the 26 qualities for devotees.
Yes. Yeah. A devotee should give up the association of dry logicians. Right? Logic's not a problem, because as we see, as the philosophy is always presented according to logic, that you make a point and then you explain it with examples, you know, and then see that it's made and then conclude, and anything that you would come up that might be natural distractions from that, then one, that's logic. But it says here, dry logicians means they feel logic itself has a value on its own. They just like being logical and like arguing, right, discussing the point. But that's a waste of time. Right? It's just that's just intellectual sense gratification instead of, you know, gross sense gratification or, you know, prestige. Like, in a sense, the same thing. Just it's manifestations through a different medium. Right. So from that, we always have to remember here is we're saying dry logicians or exclusive monism, or, you know, there's something that defines it. So that's how you can tell. So therefore, logic is not a problem, but it must be in connection to the Lord. Okay. A devotee should completely abandon all his material attachments. So,
we missed a little here. A devotee should be compassionate.
I thought she was going to say.
Sorry, I missed that one.
Up. Skipped over, you know.
No way.
No, that's before. You know, we already went through that. She's, you know,
frantically looking about through the
that's old stuff. Yeah. A devotee should be compassionate for the sufferings of the conditioned souls and should have pure heart. Yeah, in other words, conditioned souls are suffering. So there's always that point is that you don't want anybody to be subjected to the difficulties given by the three modes of nature, right? But that doesn't mean it's looked at sentimentally, that one only helps to remove the problem caused by the modes. The point is why are the modes affecting the person in the first place? Right? Because they're under the mode. Right, so dealing with that is one thing, but more important is dealing with what causes them to be entangled in the modes. You know, let's say the person has a disease, okay, and that manifests as certain symptoms. So then you help them get rid of the symptoms, right? But the point is that disease came up because of something in their lifestyle. So then the real solution would be teach them how to change the lifestyle. Right? So now, whether you deal with the symptoms or not, technically, is not the important issue. Right? It'll make it more comfortable, but it's not the actual issue. If you get to the root, get rid of the root, the problem goes away. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. But if you can do both at once, why not? But the point is that compassion is not based on just the sentiment that no one should suffer. It's a matter of the living entity is Krishna's servant and they're suffering because they're not God conscious.
When you're seeing people suffering and they're caught up in their lives, I guess out of the compassion we need to be giving them Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, but the point is as we said before, is that it has to work.
Yes.
If it doesn't work, it's not their fault.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
Let's say they're all caught up in that and they're suffering over this and that, and then you walk in and, you know, say some actual truth. Well, actually, if you weren't so attached to your family and money and prestige and all that, you wouldn't be suffering like this. And this is the typical example of the attached grihastha and how they suffer in the material world. So if you just give that up, you know, then your suffering would go away. Is it a fact or not?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's a fact.
But sometimes you still have to live with the mind, and that could be...
No, that's another thing like that. But I'm just saying in this case. But now, are they just suddenly going to go, wow, you're right, like that, you know, and then, you know, and then everything's all, you know, like that? Or is there going to be a good chance that, yeah, you know, they'll help you step outside? You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying is that, even though it may be well-intentioned, you have to see that it works for the time, place, and circumstance. If it doesn't work, then you need to correct how you deal with it. Or you made the mistake to get involved in the first place. Right? So in other words, you either don't get involved, or if you can have an influence, but you have to deal in such a way that you actually get the result. You know, you can't blame the pot that it burnt the milk.
Yes. So just on that, then it's important for the individual to know their own position before they can actually affect the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, because the situation that's there means it is a combination of various elements in a particular time, in a particular place and circumstance. That's what it is. That combination, you know, is what has the ability to connect according to time, place, or circumstance. Right? So that means action can be performed. But unless you understand the elements that are there, how are you going to know what to do? So one of the elements is yourself, right? Since we're the one operating it. So you don't understand who you are and how you fit into that situation and that endeavor and those results, then it won't work like that. So it's very important, because that's what you can deal with. That's what I'm saying, is that it's not that it's correct that the other persons don't appreciate what you're saying. But the point is you don't have any control over that. They're individuals. They're different. You can only try to apply influence, but them taking it, it's up to them. You can't say that because they didn't take it, then, you know, you're faultless and they're at fault. The point is you can say, okay, then you know, then maybe it was better, it was a mistake on my part to think that I could get involved, especially if you went through it nicely or tried all the different things. So maybe for the situation, the time is wrong, the place is wrong, circumstances are wrong, so it's not going to work. So then it's just a matter, well, you shouldn't get involved. You know what I'm saying? But it's not my false ego. So then when there's an opportunity, you could be there. I'm not. Well, last time I tried, it didn't work. But that, it was the time was wrong. Yes.
And this helps you at your level, you know, level of purity will let you act more direct.
Yes. Purity will help. Yeah. Purity and intelligence, these will help a lot. So if you don't have intelligence, chant more rounds. Yeah, should have a pure heart. In other words, your dealing means, because otherwise you can be compassionate because of the attachments. Right? But what we're talking about here is that compassion is based on the purity of heart, because it's the soul that's suffering. Right? Because the soul thinks that they're something. Right? Like Prabhupada mentioned about, it's not the body that's the doctor, because we'll say the body's the... No, it's not the body that's the doctor. It's the soul that's the doctor. Because it's the soul that thinks, I'm the doctor. The body is just dead matter. Because the soul thinks he's, you know, the doctor. Therefore, he dresses the body in a certain way and talks in a certain way and does all these things that you will consider he's the doctor. Does that make sense? So the point is it's the, and because of that, the soul suffers. Right? The body technically doesn't suffer. You know what I'm saying? The body doesn't really care that, you know, there's these various chemical reactions happening. Does that make sense? You know, it's happening. It doesn't matter to it. You know, it's the soul that has the problem with it. Does that make sense?
Can we say that
women by nature are more compassionate? Yeah, in general you can say like that. But yeah, by principle, yes. In a tendency. Because they'll look at the emotional elements. So the effect of something on somebody, they will notice more. Well, the men will look more at the efficiency of the performance of an activity to give a result. You know what I'm saying? It means the observable result. know what I'm saying? So it's just like the man is, let's say, you're cooking something. So he'll worry that the cooking got done. You know, it came out to the certain standard of excellence that he was looking at. You know, everything was arranged nicely. The serving went nicely. Everything was like that. So, but that's the main point. Now, if everybody appreciated it or not, that's another thing. You know, like, you know, I did everything perfect. What's these guys' problem, right? You know what I'm saying? But the lady, it's more, what's the effect that it has on the people? So if by it being more expert, that would have a better effect, then the woman would want it to be more expert. But if by being more expert, it wouldn't have more of an effect, she's not interested at all. Does that make sense? That's why it becomes confusing. Because one time the woman deals in this situation, this, you know, in this kind of area, in a very sophisticated way, and another time she doesn't. Right? And the man can't figure it out. That's because it depends upon what's going to be the emotional effect, not what's going to be the effect resulting from the manipulation of the elements of the field. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah.
It would be a superior consideration in the woman's point of view.
It's superior in the way of rasa. And so if you can take that and connect it to Krishna, it's very easy and direct. But if one can't connect it to Krishna, then it's a more difficult position, because the pure use of the intelligence is not an option. You know what I'm saying? The man can use intelligence and cut off from emotion. Right? He can go, family life is entangled, and just look at it from that point of its entanglement. Women can't do that. They'll say, yeah, it's very entangling and all that, but, you know, you have the relationship with this one and that one. And all. So you can't, there's no such thing as the analytical being separated from the personal. Do you understand? Like that. So they go together. So that means if you can go directly from, you know, material rasa to spiritual rasa, that's the easiest. But the men tend to go from material rasa to spiritual to transcendental. Or the women will go from material rasa to transcendental rasa. You understand? So the stableness is created because the man can get to that spiritual platform. Does that make sense? And so then it's consistency always connected to the Lord. So that way then it keeps that the emotions and senses are always connected to the Lord. Does that make sense? That's the idea. Yeah. Right, so the woman is religious by nature, the man is spiritual by nature. Right, they're different. So now if that religious is connected to Krishna, then it's Sanatan Dharma. But if not, then they'll fall into Dharma. You know what I'm saying? So they'll go Dharma, Sanatan Dharma. Men tend to go Dharma, Moksha, Sanatan Dharma. Does that make sense? That's the smart one. Otherwise, it's Dharma. I mean, that's the overall, you know. But if you go in close, and it's Dharma, Artha, Kama, get your butt kicked, Moksha, then transcendental. Yeah, that's generally how it goes. Yeah, but that's the detail.
Or it's just ground from
there. I mean, go back to sleep. Yeah.
Get your butt kicked again. Get your butt kicked again.
Yeah. Then you get kicked again. Because then it'll be from the ignorance. Like, the passion that got you, now the ignorance is getting you. So now you really don't know what to do. There's no other options, right? So that means goodness. You know, then that's not an option, right?
Said one time that, you know, if the lady, she's cooking and then she drops the pot she drops the tray or something on the floor, and she's upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the man comes in and says, "Yeah, you see, what's wrong there? Is shooting
right, right,
the
yeah, yeah." And then you can't figure out why she suddenly hit you up the side of the head with a rolling pin, or yelled at you, told you to get out of here, or you don't understand. It's kind of like, I don't understand how to not drop a tray. You know.
He's like, I'm getting a good knowledge here, you know.
Yeah, but the point is it's not about knowledge.
Yeah.
It's not about that the activity didn't go well. It's about that whatever was the reason that you were doing the activity, that is lost.
Yeah.
So it's not that you drop the tray, so okay, then pick it up and then we'll start again, or you know, this and that, or.
So she was making that arrangement because she's trying to make a nice arrangement, a nice thing.
Yeah, and so that's not going to happen the way she planned it. You know, it's going to be a nice dinner, you know, and everybody be happy and all this and that. So that's not going to happen because she just dropped it on the floor.
So, and then so him being sensitive to her, and then she be like satisfied. And then, you
know. I mean, the point is he's dealing with the emotional thing like that and giving support and then giving a solution to the emotional problem, not the how to not drop the tray. You know, that's not rocket science. You know, it's like generally she does know how to not drop the tray. You know, it's just at this particular time she got distracted, she dropped the tray.
And then
does that make some sense?
Mark,
yes.
I just mean that men, they cannot be naturalists, they have to just remind themselves
about it. Means if you practice it enough, then it becomes. Because the point is, he's saying the men work in intellectual, emotional, or sensual. They're three different. It's like, let's say, if you have, it's like three different rooms, each having its own door. For women, it's one room with three doors. You understand? That's the point. So for the women, it doesn't. You know, in the modern, I think in the modern, it's like, you know, in the brain, then for the men, you know, you the synapse is on one side of the brain or the other side work. But for the women, they both sides work always. Right? You know, because the men, because you're doing like that, you need more of them. You know, because you hear that have to go over here. But the women, you need less of them because they're always working. So, you know, you need half as much. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could say from that side, it's more intelligent.
So does that make, that softens the heart then? Because the man who's like, coming from the impersonalist, background,
impersonalist antijah. So if you have also the personalist antijah background, just to distinguish here.
Well, he's more, he's probably tribal, isn't he? Tribal.
They can all be pretty tribal. You know? Some of those East End girls can be pretty tribal.
Whereas the impersonalist antijah probably more loner.
I wouldn't try to throw it into the romantic that the reason you can't deal with women properly is some romantic, you know, the loner, the, you know, the adventure. I wouldn't try that one. It means it may go down good with your friends, you know, like that, you know, over a yard of ale or something like that. But it's not going to fly in the women's world.
So it's softening part of that dealing with
the. Yeah, in other words, you have to be able to see, it means when you're performing the activity, okay, an activity is being performed. And the result is for Krishna, okay? Now you could just focus on the activity itself till you get the result. Then getting the result, you give that result to Krishna, right? You could also be focusing on that I'm doing this for Krishna, so I want to make sure I do it nicely. Right? You understand? So one can work with both of them at once. It's just the men aren't used to it. Because, like, let's say if you're out there, you know, with your wrench and stuff like that, you know, or, you know, sticking in the engine fire. No, that's the big one. Spark plug, you know, like that. That means the point is what can go wrong?
Misfire.
Yeah, but I'm saying, let's say you're putting it in. What can you do wrong?
Drop it.
Put it in too hard. And then will the engine start getting on your case? And then it says, you always put it in terms like that. You know, I tell you a million times, you know, when are you going to stop it? Yeah, is it going to tell you that? No. So, therefore, then they don't worry about it. And then when it does go, oh, I put it in a sign, so stupid, like that. And then what do? They'll go out and get another one, like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, means they'll do one, and then that. But they don't. They're not practiced to do them both at once.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter. And because it works so great, they're a great mechanic. Everyone says this and that. All his friends think he's a great bloke, you know, and everything like that. But you know, the women think he's a schnook, you know. So then, what are you supposed? You know, then in his mind, well, everybody else thinks I'm great, you know. But you know, she can't appreciate it. So there's something problem there. No, it's that he's never learned to apply both the things at once.
Yeah. And then with that ability, then you can associate with these more advanced devotees.
Yeah, it would work. See, the point is why I was making that point is that which was better for advancing in devotional service?
They're both good, but you need
something. Yeah, when you use both together.
Yeah.
They'll both work, but one is lower and one's higher. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So higher means it's getting more developed. Does that make sense? So in a formal dealing with the woman, if it doesn't have all these other things, it'll work. You know what I'm saying? But if it's more close, then it has to have that element. So the point is you need the quality anyway. Right? So you should be able to develop it because it's necessary for devotional service. But due to ignorance, generally we don't. Right? But due to attachment, we have to be with the woman. And the woman demands that you have that quality that you require in devotional service. So then what does that mean? You have to develop it. Right? You know.
Reminds you. She reminds you.
Yeah. So like that. Yeah.
It seems from the way you're explaining it that women, the woman's body has some natural advantages.
Right? Has natural advantages and disadvantages. They both have.
It seemed that the advantages were more than the disadvantages, which led me to wonder why Krishna would have put them in the same category as Shudras and Bhagavad Gita saying that.
Shudras, what's the definition of a Shudra?
One who can't think for himself.
No, not that. They think too much.
Skilled worker.
You ever work with artists? All they do is think. That's the problem. You want to keep them on the bodily platform. Then it works better. As soon as they get mental, they're thin.
And
then
what of ignorance?
No, you were close.
Lament.
They lament. So what women lament very easily. Something goes wrong. Oh, it's all lost. It's all finished. Because the emotional, that option for that emotion and that way that it was conceived is lost. So therefore, it's all finished. The man just looking at it, at mechanics. No, we picked the tray up, and you know, this half is still good, like that. And then, you know, okay, like that. And then like this, and so it's not quite a mess. So we'll make a salad or something. You know what I'm saying? So, but mechanically, it works. But she was thinking of a particular emotional effect. So if she can now see that. That emotional effect can be gotten with half a tray and another preparation, then everything's fine. You understand? So that the tendency to go into lamentation of gain and loss, so loss and gain, is much more strong. You know what I'm saying? Because gain and safety is that, you know, yeah. So yeah.
And Kali Yuga being untouched means like men think same as women do?
Kind of, but at the same time is there's still the element that it's just like this. you have the man Shudra and the woman Shudra. So the woman Shudra will lament more than the man Shudra, right? But let's say you have a Brahmin lady and a Brahmin man. So the woman Brahmin will lament more than the Brahmin man, but she may lament less than the Shudra man. You know, that's why you have to match. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that means it's, the point is Krishna consciousness for women is simple. You just engage what you're doing connected to Krishna and that's it, it's finished. So if you can create that environment and keep it consistently like that, then it works very easy. You understand? But the point is who has to create the environment? Does that make sense? That's it. No, everybody drops the lasagna. Yeah. So that was my grandmother's secret. That makes sense. Oh, yeah? 5 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
No?
No.
I don't know. This process must be working. Messi, he got it in about the ladies, but early. And, about, you know, the cultural thing, you know. So all
I saw in the Bhagavatam, actually, I was reading, and it said it, like, about the times that different sorts of persons become active, you know.
Times, yeah.
Like, you know, sages, demons, and nakshasas. So I think it's around, it's probably
from demons. Oh, as it gets towards high noon.
Yeah, then later is for nakshasas.
Oh, okay.
So if it's unnatural for us to be like up early and sad and everything, and we know it's.
Well, technically speaking, rakshasa and, you know, demon is a. Divine and demoniac is a mentality rather than a particular physical.
Like
fangs. that's if you get that far. But I mean, if you don't have natural fangs and horns on your head, then you don't have the specific, you know, demoniac body that they're talking about in the Shastra. Generally, it's 8 big teeth. You have all the other ones there. You know, you get your 32 teeth, but 8 of them are big. You know, like that. You know. At that, nice horns. Okay, and the next point is going to have the footnote. Yeah. So. In other words, the quality, as it says a devotee should carefully gather the good qualities needed for devotional service. So you need that quality, but the point is why are you gathering it? To please Krishna, right? Means the materialist, then he sees that, okay, then to survive in the material world, then certain qualities you require. Right, so they cultivate them, you know, have their workshops and all these different things to do that. But at the end of the day, they only use it for their material benefit. Right? Well, the devotee, he's cultivating the good quality because it pleases Krishna. But it also simultaneously makes the material things work more smoothly. Does that make sense? Yes. He's thinking, that's in all the world, except what about in the business world? Once I saw a poster, it was, I think about, I'm not sure what it was, but it was in New York, so you don't know what it's about. But, and there were two guys there, you know, in their suits and all that, and looking very, yeah, very, very, you know, they were middle-aged, but they were looking very confident in themselves and all that. And it says, it's something about, good guys finish last. And then underneath it, that said, and we're the winners. Like that. So it meant they were bad. So.
You see the development of qualities. It's not an artificial.
No. It's not artificial. Means if it's artificial, means you haven't understood it or practiced it enough or properly. You know, artificial means sometimes you say, "Oh, that's artificial," but the point is being in the material world is artificial. Being in a material body is artificial. You know what I'm saying? So the point is therefore you have to go through those practices that will get you beyond that. So that's natural. They say, "Oh, be so renounced, that's artificial." No, it's not. You know, it's like you take that same person who's complaining about renunciation here, take them to a different part of the city, a different social strata, like that. Say, "Okay, come on, jump in." They'll say, "No." Says, "Why not?" So that's artificial. Everybody hears into it. You know, what's your problem? So it's just all it is that means that it's artificial for them, in their conditioning, you know, in its impure state. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So it's just like, you know, the grihastha, it's artificial for him to be renounced. No, it's not. It's artificial for him to not deal with the facilities in connection with the senses. Like that. That would be artificial. But to be renounced that he's dealing with the senses in connection, you know, for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, then that's what he's supposed to do. So he's supposed to engage the senses to please Krishna.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaur Prem.